Well, here we go. The second to the last episode of Fishing Paul Bunyan Country for the year. Part one of a two-part conversation with Dick Beardsley as we talk fall fishing and our final lake of the week. It's all coming up.
Fishing pool keys, tackle box in my hand. Gonna cast a few lines with my toes in the sand. Pulling in a big catch makes me feel like a man. But the wife, she just don't understand. I love walleye, perch, trout, and bass. And if you don't like fishing, you can kiss my four-stroke right in the back. Cause the fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
You're listening to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
Well, fall is here. It is the final week of Fishing Paul Bunyan Country. We figure we should check in with Dick Beardsley one more time. We will probably hear from him in Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors down the road as well. But, Dick, for a lot of people, this is what they wait for. Fall fishing is some of the best of the year.
Yes, it absolutely is, Kevin. The fall bite is definitely starting to pick up. Water temperatures are dropping. In fact, I was on Bemidji just yesterday, or 2 days ago, and water temperatures, when I first got out there, now that was like a 7:30 in the morning, it was 58 degrees. It did eventually get up to about 62, something like that. But now the temperature's falling. And it's kind of funny, Kev, because in the spring, it seems like when we hit 60-degree temperature as the water's warming up, it kind of triggers that walleye bite for some reason. It just, in the logs I keep over the years, it just seems that 60-degree water temperature in the spring, it's kind of a magic number. It's kind of the same thing in the fall, except just the opposite. When that water temperature drops below 60, it just seems like, man, it just starts kicking the fish into high gear. So, yeah, we're right there. So I'm excited.
So what does the fall fishing bite look like on Lake Bemidji?
Well, it depends on the type of fishing you want to do. You know, there's guys out now that are pulling lead core and fishing for deep fish and I've never pulled lead core in my life. I've been with somebody that did it and whatnot. But again, as I've said many times on your show, I'm kind of old school and whatnot. But this is the time of year. Once that water temperature starts dropping, you get the mixture of cold water from the bottom mixing it with the warmer water on top, and you get the oxygen levels really completely the same from top to bottom, and water temperature is pretty much the same. Then those fish could be anywhere they want to be. You'll still find fish along the green cabbage, and that's an important thing to look for, in my opinion, in the fall, is that green grass, that green cabbage especially, it's going to hold fish. But some of those deeper areas, those deeper holes, they're going to be holding fish too. So it gives you a lot of options, sometimes more options than you wish you had. But it's an exciting time of the year because the fish can be scattered all over the place at this time.
Okay. And they get bigger too.
They do. All species, you know, they know now that we've getting shorter days, water temperatures cooling down. They know, as we do, what's right around the corner. It's not too far off, wintertime. And so they start putting the feed bag on now. And this is the time of the year when you can start catching some of the biggest fish of the entire season right now.
Not only big fish, but they act, I would say they act a little more like bass than they do most of the year.
They do. They get more aggressive. You know, there's less food out in the food chain now. You know, some of the minnows and stuff have been eaten off, died off, whatever, the forage fish out there. So now they're they're looking. They're chomping on baits out there now. So it can really be a fun time and you know, now the jet skiers and water skiers, for the most part, are done with now, and there's not many people out on the lakes. Most of the folks that are out there now are out there fishing, and it's a great time of the year.
I know that you love jig fishing, so
yes.
This will work for you.
Oh, yeah, it does. I love jig fishing. In fact, the last couple of days I've had some folks out, and that's mainly what we've been doing is using jigs, and the minnow bites really picking up again now. But jig wrapping, too, has been really good. And not just for walleyes, too. We've been, you know, the crappies now, you know, as the water cools down, they start moving out towards those deeper basins of the lakes. And we're starting to get crappies now on jig and wraps also. And there's, when a walleye or a pike, even a crappie, when they hit a jigging wrap, there's no like, oh, is that a fish on there? Like sometimes, you know, if you're jig fishing for walleyes, they'll kind of just suck on that minnow and kind of just kind of give you a little pull. Yeah, when they hit a jigging wrap, you know it's a fish because, boy, they just whapper good.
Fall fishing is here, and it only gets better from this point on. Dick Beardsley, my guest. We'll have more with Dick next, and our final Lake of the Week is coming up, too.
Fishin' Paul Bunyan Country, where fishing is more important than pretty much everything. This is Fishin' Paul Bunyan Country.
Dick Beardsley, my guest. We are talking fall fishing. He, of course, likes to fish on Lake Bemidji. But, of course, it's not just Lake Bemidji. All lakes are great in the fall.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously we've got a great one right out here in Lake Bemidji. But so many of the other lakes in the area, you know, Grace and Wolf and Andrusia and Plantagenet and Cass and the Turtle River chain of lakes. I mean, they're all will be kicking out some fish and multi-species. And the bass fishing can get phenomenal, especially the smallmouth bass fishing. And as I've heard you talk on your show many times, and I've mentioned it myself, the smallmouth bass fishing is really starting to take off on some of these area lakes. And boy, they concentrate, you know, in the fall when the water gets cold. That's why the season by the middle of September goes to a catch and release only. But boy, you can have some fun fishing with those smallies out there, that's for sure.
You can. And you know, that whole Turtle River chain's getting to have a lot of smallmouth in there, whether it be Big Turtle or Turtle River Lake or Beltrami.
Yes,
they've all got them.
They all got them, Kevin. And I swear, every year we seem to catch more and more and bigger ones. And we, you know, totally catch and release all of them. But I know this summer I had some clients out, a mom and a dad and the wife. And in one day they each caught an 18 plus inch smallie. And the daughter, a 15 year old daughter, caught a 21 and a half incher. And they're going to get it mounted. The fish is the fish is still swimming. They're getting a replica made of her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So now there's some big ones out there, and hopefully they'll keep getting bigger.
Well, up to this point, the last few weeks, how's the fishing been?
Slowly but surely, it's picking up. You know, as it does every August, it kind of slows down a little bit. And believe it or not, Kev, I actually was pulling bottom bouncers and crawlers and spinners for a while out there this summer.
Really?
Yeah, just because we were still getting jig fishing. But we not as well as we were when we were pulling some spinners and crawlers and whatnot. But the last few weeks it's starting to pick up now. And you know, fall kind of came. The water temperature started cooling pretty quick. You know, August wasn't that warm of a month compared to how it normally is. But I think what happened too is, you know, for the longest time we had water temperatures in the upper 70s. Some smaller lakes hitting close to 80, and then all of a sudden it started getting chilly. And the bite kind of dropped off a little bit. I think the water chilled down so quickly it kind of like almost like put a little shock into the fish. But now that's stabilized out, and now the bite should just continue to get more and more consistent right through the fall.
Okay, and again, that's what anglers are looking for. The other great thing about fall fishing, most serious anglers tell me, is there's a lot less people on the water.
I love it, Kev. That's one thing. I mean, I love people. I take people out fishing all the time. But, man, when you know, especially even on the weekends now, I mean, unless it's a real nice day, there's virtually nobody on the lake. And on the weekdays, you can go out to Lake Bemidji pretty near, especially until about 4 or 5 o'clock when some of the local folks are getting off work, they'll head out there. But otherwise, you can have the lake or lakes completely to yourself. And it's so, you know, I always have a spot in mind. I'm going to start on a lake. And this time of the year, most of the time, I can go right to that spot. In the summertime, there might be somebody else knowing about that spot too, so I'll just go to a different spot. But yeah, this time of the year, lakes are wide open. Fishing is good. The fish are wanting to bite. So, yeah, it's a great time to be on the water.
Okay. Of course, you're not a musky guy.
I'm not.
This is a good time to be a musky
it
guy.
It is. And I know sometimes I got a bunch of friends, and, boy, they love the fall musky fishing. And you know, folks like Kevin Cochran and, you know, Mr. Musky himself. I mean, those guys, they'll be out there in November if they can still get out there. Because the later in November they can go, the chance better chance of catching those big fish. And so I just not a muskie guy.
Now, are you one of those guys who's caught a muskie while I fish?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I've fished muskies. You know, through the years I fished them, and I guided for them for a while years ago. But I've, like I've told people, Kev, I've caught way more muskies walleye fishing than I have actually darn muskie fishing. But I'm due this summer. Every year I usually get at least one. So far this year I haven't got any, but you know, the best time is coming up.
So as far as a guide's life goes, in the fall, as we say, most of the people are done fishing, but you still have plenty of trips, it sounds like.
Yeah, but it slows down. You know, you can, by about mid, I mean, I stay busy from the opener right through Labor Day, but you can see in by mid-August, the local tourism, you know, it starts to kind of slow down. The schools are starting in North Dakota, Illinois, you know, they places where people come to visit. And then after Labor Day, yeah, I'm not guiding every day on the water, although this September it's looking pretty busy. But that's okay. It's kind of nice having a little bit of a break and going out. Not to say guiding isn't fishing for fun, because I love being out there no matter what. But now I can go out there and I can explore a bunch of other lakes I haven't been on for a while. If I catch something, great. If I don't, no big deal. You know, you still learn a lot when you're on the lakes, even if you're not catching much.
Okay. So if we're going out this weekend, what would we do? What should we start with?
Well, I would, if I'm going out, which I will be, I'm going to be working the deep weed edges, 12 to 16 foot. Like on Lake Bemidji, it's pretty clear cut, right around that 12, 13 foot is the edge of the deep cabbage. And I'm just going to start working a jig and a minnow along the cabbage, live bait rig and a minnow. Same thing, but I'll still have crawlers, and if I can still get leeches, I'll have those with me also. And then if those spots aren't producing, I'll go out in some of these deeper holes, some of the deeper humps and bars and whatnot. And if I can find on some deeper fish, then what I like to do, if I can actually see fish on my graph, then I'll sit on top of them with like a jigging wrap. That's fun. That jigging wrap is fun, and you'll catch all kinds of stuff on a jigging wrap. So that would be my go-to method for coming up this weekend.
Tomorrow, much more to cover with Dick Beardsley, but up next, it's Lake of the Weekday, one final lake to look at for the 2019 season.
There are three seasons in Minnesota: fishing, ice fishing, and hell on earth. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country.
Lake of the Weekday, Lake of the Weekday, Lake of the Weekday, holy cow!
It's Fish and Paul Bunyan Country's Lake of the Week.
We thought we'd let Paul get on there at least one time this summer. It is Lake of the Weekday. We're checking in once again with Carl Peterson from the Walker Area Fisheries Office, and we're going to lucky number 13. Carl, thanks for taking the time today. Tough question for you right off the bat. Have any idea why it's called Lake 13?
Oh, boy, you'd stump me already.
I don't know either, but I thought I'd throw it out there.
No, I don't have any idea.
Okay, well, Lake 13 actually is quite a big lake, 550-some acres, and looks like it's got some depth to it, too.
Yeah, the max depth is about 50 feet, but it's fairly shallow for the most part. There's one big deep hole in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's around 60% of the lake is under 15 feet, so it's pretty shallow for the most part, but it's got some deeper stuff in it as well.
Okay. And it looks like it's a good lake. You got some bass, you got a pretty good walleye numbers, bluegills, a lot of different things to fish for in that lake.
Yeah, it's really a nice lake. It's the nice thing about it too, it's completely undeveloped. There's not a single bit of development around the entire shoreline. So it's one of those, you know, middle of the Chippewa National Forest lakes that's very, very scenic, but also fairly easy to get to and close to town. So it's just south of Cass Lake, a couple of miles. It's real easy to get to if you've got a decent vehicle, because sometimes that road can get pretty muddy because it's just a Forest Service road. So
gotcha. But a pretty good ramp and easy to get the on the water?
Yeah, the ramp is a dirt ramp, and there is an ice heave at the ramp, so you might have trouble. I'd encourage using four-wheel drive if you got it. And then also you might have trouble if you got too big of a boat getting in and out of there. Okay. There's not a ton of parking. There's probably four or five spaces there. and being so close to Cass Lake that there is some occasional issues with having enough parking there.
Okay. Boy, I tell you though, it's my kind of lake, like you say, completely undeveloped, and yet a fishery, a very strong fishery in that lake.
Yeah, it's a good one. We live fairly close to that, so the kids and I like to go up there occasionally in the summer, and it's really a fun lake for the kids to fish because there's plenty of bass in there. We've got a bass regulation on there, a 14 to 20 inch protected slot limit. So what it's done is increased the numbers pretty well, so you can catch quite a few fish in there. Nothing real big. The bass regulation hasn't really helped with the sizes on there, so we're going to look at it here in a couple of years and evaluate what we're going to do with the bass regulation. But you can definitely catch a lot of fish. It's pretty good sunfish in there as well. Some decent bluegills. The problem was a couple of years ago that was really getting hammered pretty hard. So some of the locals and also asked if we could put a bluegill regulation in there. So we evaluated and decided that it'd be a pretty good candidate to put a 5-bag limit on the sunfish on the lake as well. And when we put it out for public comment, we got 100% positive comment saying that, yeah, the public wanted that reduced bag limit on there. And so far, we just put that on in 2017. We'll see how that works and if it maintains the good quality bluegill fishing out there.
Okay. So it sounds like, despite when you're on it feeling like you're in the middle of nowhere, as you noted, close enough to Cass Lake, it sounds like it gets a decent amount of pressure.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of pressure out there. Not terrible, you know, but you're going to most likely see a few people out there when you're fishing that lake. Okay. And, you know, depending on the winter, too, it can get some winter pressure, depending on the snow load, and they're not plowing that road in there, so once we get too much snow, you can't get in there too easily. But if it's like, you know, 2 years ago when we didn't have a lot of snow early, then there's a few people who get out there and ice fish it as well.
Okay. And it looks like not a huge number of northerns, but a decent number, and the sizes are really nice.
Yeah, there's some decent northerns out there. I think in the last survey, we saw about 4 fish per net, which is pretty average. So it's not terrible. There's not tons and tons of hammer handles out there, but fish up to 33 inches, so some bigger ones as well. And the nice thing about the lake, too, is there's walleyes in there as well. So you can go out, you know, during the day and fish for your bluegills and bass and have fun with them, and then on towards the evening, head over to some of the deeper spots, some of the other stuff, and look for walleyes like you traditionally were, or start casting for those northerns.
Well, yeah, I was looking at that. The survey I see had, you know, 5 1/3 per net. That's a good solid number for walleye. And then the average size, over 2 pounds, that's a really good number.
Yeah. Average was 19 inches. So basically, you know, those ideal eaters that are out there right now. And the last survey has been a couple years ago, so we haven't been in there since 2014. But so we'll get back in and see what it is here in a couple of years.
So what is in the water that the fish like so much? Because they all seem really healthy.
Yeah, they it's definitely one of the healthier lakes for us in the area for sure. The one dilemma with the walleye numbers being high is that our perch numbers are kind of tanked. And they actually did a study on that and on the lake in 2006 to see how increased walleye numbers would affect the perch numbers. So what we realized from that you know, obviously you got too many walleyes in the lake, you get lower perch numbers. So we're adjusting our stocking levels out there to try to just, you know, find that sweet spot where you have, you know, plenty of perch, but you also have plenty of walleyes. And so we've reduced the stocking and actually seen, in lakes where we've done that, we've seen actually better perch and better walleyes both. So.
Okay. You know, you look at a lot of those forest lakes here, you know, a couple hundred acres, 100 acres, sometimes less than that. 554, that's a good solid lake.
Yeah, it's not small by any means. And you can, like I said, you can find some spots to fish. There's those that deeper water if you like fishing the weeds and casting up in the lily pads. Or there's, you know, a long kind of ridge that heads out under the water there that you can fish that as well. And there's also some camping. If you like that remote camping, there's some camping spots on the southeastern shore. You know, there's no amenities, no pit toilets or anything like that. But if you like to camp on a nice lake and in a rustic setting, that's a decent one to look at.
All right. How do we get there?
Okay. If you're coming from Cass Lake, you know, head south on 371. You hit Highway 143 and take a right or head east. Go about a mile and a half, and you'll find Forest Service Road 2136. Head about 2.5 miles down that, and you'll see the boat ramp on the left. The boat ramp's off a little bit, just right off that Forest Service Road. But you'll see the sign for the public access. It was one of those brown public access signs. If you're coming from Walker, you head north from Walker, and when you hit Steamboat Lake, Steamboat Lake on your right, take a on your left, pardon me, you'll take a right on Highway 4, go about 3 miles, and that you'll see that U.S. Forest Service 2136. Go north on that until the same thing, until you'll see the lake and the boat ramp.
Okay. It just sounds like a really fun place to check out, but those Forest Service roads sometimes, as you noted early, not in the best of shape at times.
Yeah, early spring, like right now, when the frost really starts coming out of them, that that 2136 can get a little soupy. So I wouldn't take your smaller car that didn't have four wheel drive on it. And same thing with, like I said, if you're trying to drag a big boat up there, you might have some trouble with this one. So
okay, and you did note that if the roads are okay, you might even see a little ice fishing in the wintertime.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Just largemouth, no smallmouth in that lake.
Yep, there's no smallmouth in that lake.
Okay.
Yep.
I tell you, it's, again, we were talking about Mule Lake, you got some bluegill, you got bass, you got northerns, and in this case, you got walleyes, too. But a lot of different things to try. If you're not stubborn, you should find something biting.
Yeah, you should be able to find a meal out there for sure and some fun. We've seen some bluegills and pumpkin seeds and hybrid bluegill pumpkin seeds out there as well. So it's a good mix of fish. It's a pretty lake, and it's a fun one.
All right, it's Lake 13 in the middle of the Chippewa National Forest near the Cass Lake area. We're talking with Carl Peterson. He is from the Walker Area Fisheries Office. Thank you so much for your time today, and maybe we'll see you on Lake 13.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
And if I see you there, I want you to do some research and find out why it's called Lake 13.
Okay, we'll keep you updated.
Okay, thanks.
FISHIIN, Paul Bunyan Country.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.